Chapter 10.
All of us stood in stunned silence for a second, and then I jumped up from my chair. I hurried down the hall after Edeny, but as I came around the corner, I spied her climbing into the back of her coach. I thumped through the foyer and down the front stairs of the manor, but it was too late. The Duchess's carriage pulled away. I glanced around the enormous lobby, but there were no guards in sight, and I had no idea where the blonde aristocrat was headed.
"God damn it!"
I grunted, turned on my heels, and thumped down the hall.
Charles!
Josephine whimpered.
"What are we going to do? We can't let Edeny do this!"
"How is Edeny going to find her?"
Daisy asked.
"Go to her house and start from there? Valerie, were there any signs of places that Kalara liked to go in the house? Correspondence with other Edenhard aristocrats, maybe?"
"No,"
the feline woman grumbled.
"There are no other letters except for the ones from the queen. Charles, what are we going to do? We can't let Edeny just run off on her own and kill Kalara."
"Let me think. I'm sure that there's a way we can solve this without Edeny killing Kalara. Not that I care if she kills her, but if the queen finds out her lover is dead, she'll come after all of us without hesitation."
"Do you think we should have gone along with Edeny's plan?"
the blonde heiress asked.
"Should we have let her send out her guards to the manor, or stayed with her here at the duchy?"
"Absolutely not. I just got my freedom back from Edeny. There is no way that I would allow her to have full control over me like that. Not only me, but all of you, too. I said it was true. All of you have augmented powers, and I'm sure if Kalara decided to attack us, we'd be more than capable of handling her."
"I have an idea. What if we tracked Kalara down and killed her?"
"But how will that benefit us? It still means that Kalara is dead and the queen will attack."
"Think about it. The queen is already on our trail. She sent Kalara to kill you and Edeny, so why does it matter if we retaliate? What if we killed her in a way that left no proof? I mean, we covered up Delphine's murder well and made Hortensia's death look like a suicide. Sure, it might cause a stir, but if they don't have any proof... Not only that, but how would the queen even know that we were the ones who killed her? We could trap her and make it look like a bear attack or something."
"I think we're looking at this all wrong. The answer is so close that if it were a snake, it would have bitten us."
"So you have an idea?"
Josephine urged.
"Well, tell us! Charles, please!"
"We transform Kalara. We already have the Nyx prepared. We track and trap Kalara, bring her back to the manor, and transform her before Edeny returns."
"But how will we explain the new monster girl to the Duchess? You know she won't believe us if we tell her that Kalara came along with us willingly."
"No, we won't tell her that," I shook my head. "We'll tell her something along the lines of, 'I reached out to another aristocrat months ago for the transformation and didn't hear back from her. When we returned to the manor after she left, we found the aristocrat on our front steps, begging to be augmented. I'm sure that the Duchess would be pleased to find out I'd transformed and created a fourth monster girl to add to her growing army."
"Then how do we explain Kalara's disappearance? You can't let the Duchess find her. We have to first."
"If Kalara has such close connections to the Queen, and the spy sensed any danger, she would return back to the Queen. Hopefully, if we suggest that to the Duchess heavily, she'll believe it. It will be easier to do if Kalara isn't around the city anymore, since she'll be one of my monster girls."
"But do you think that Edeny would believe that? She's on a warpath now, and won't stop until she finds Kalara."
"As an aristocrat, Edeny has to follow certain rules. If Kalara were to return back to the capital, Edeny couldn't follow because the tattooed woman is an agent of the matriarchy."
"Then there's nothing else we can do,"
Valerie whispered.
"The Duchess has no other choice than to believe that Kalara returned home." "But I still doubt that she will,"
the heiress broke in.
"Edeny may believe that Kalara is still slinking around the city."
"Then we have to convince her that Kalara isn't here anymore."
"So, back to the manor?"
Valerie giggled. "Yes, but we have to find some way to track her." My eyes swept across the room for a second, and then landed on Daisy. The brunette tilted her head at me, blinked once, and then understood my train of thought.
"My sense of smell!"
the bear girl cried.
"I could track her by her natural scent. But we don't have anything of hers to use. And I'm certainly not smelling the seat of her chair. That just seems too weird and gross since she was practically naked.
Well, you won't have to do that!
Valerie shouted.
I have this!
The feline woman reached into the small pouch at her waist, rummaged around inside it for a second, and whipped out a long strip of cream-colored fabric. The swatch flew through the air like a flag for a second, and then dropped to the floor limply.
Is that...
Josephine murmured.
Part of her bandage clothing? Yep. She had a bunch of them. A whole mountain of spools of them, and all of the used ones piled up in a mess on the floor. I grabbed the smallest one I could find and took it with me. I know I wasn't supposed to steal anything, but I don't think she'll notice this piece missing.
Good job, Valerie, I chuckled, reached over, and petted the top of her head.
I wasn't sure why I stole it. Yeah, I kind of thought that I wanted a souvenir after my first mission by myself. But then, I had this itching feeling that we would need it. I don't know why, but I had the urge. No, the need to take it.
Well, we're all delighted that you did. If it weren't for you, we wouldn't be able to find Kalara on our own. Let's return to the manor for now. I have a big map of the city that came with the manor, and we can plot out places where we think Kalara might be.
Oh! There was one thing in the letters between the Queen and Kalara that stood out to me, but I couldn't puzzle it out myself.
What is it?
The Queen said that if Kalara were found out or needed help, she should go to the Crying Tree. Well, I'd never heard that term before and didn't understand it. Charles, do you have any idea what it could be?
Secret hideout, maybe? Josephine, you've grown up in this city all of your life and know all of its layouts. Have you heard of this Crying Tree?
There's an old legend. Well, more like a scary story about a crying tree on the outskirts of town. But we all thought it wasn't real because it passed around so much that the moral of the story became convoluted. So, what's the legend of the Crying Tree?
The Ash Blonde asked.
Well, it's said that long ago, right after women started to develop powers, there was a couple that refused to go along with the new set of rules that barred men and women from marrying. They'd been together since they were children and couldn't stand to be apart. But one of Edenie's ancestors kidnapped the man and forced him to work slave labor along with all of the other males in the city. Oh, no.
Valerie sighed.
That's so horrible. Was it Olvia? I'd actually came to like her from all the stories that Edenie tells about her. She doesn't seem like that bad of a person. Well, except for making men a lower station than all of the females. Yes, Olvia wasn't all bad. But she did more harm than she did good. She may not have directly put men into the position they're in today, but she started the domino effect. But no, it wasn't Olivia who did this. I think it was a woman named Eleandra, but I could be wrong.
What happened next?
Daisy asked.
Well, the man managed to sneak out of the camp at night, and both of them would race through the forest and meet at a specific tree. It didn't have a name before all of this, but it stands out because it's an oak tree and a linden tree twisted together into an internal knot. They'd meet there and stay there all night until the sun started to just peek out over the horizon. The man would return to the camp, and sadly, the woman would return home alone. This went on for months, the story says, and they never got caught, until eventually... They did!
Valerie squeaked.
By Eleandra herself. She tightened up the security at the encampment, and the guards realized he was missing. Eleandra waited outside of the camp in total darkness and watched as he snuck out through the forest. She followed him and found the pair at the intertwined tree and...
She killed them, didn't she?
Daisy murmured.
Yes, but only the man.
Why would she do that? If she were so angry with the both of them, you'd think she'd take both of them out.
She wanted to make both of them suffer. So, she killed the man slowly in front of his lover. And when he finally died, she released the woman out into the city. Weeks went by, and the woman secluded herself in her house until finally one night she snuck out. She made the long trek through the woods in her wedding dress, and by the time she reached the intertwined trees, she was covered in mud, sweat, and tears. The woman threw herself down to the ground at the base of the trees and sobbed there for hours. The story says that she stayed there for weeks on end, and eventually, when her lover never returned to her, even though he was dead, she pulled out a silver dagger.
Oh, no!
Valerie cried.
She laid down at the roots of the tree and slit her throat. The woman's blood boiled out like a fresh spring and sunk into the roots of the intertwined trees. Everyone believes that the man's spirit heard his lover's cry and returned to the place where he was killed. The woman's spirit rose from its body, and the two of them implanted themselves within the knotted trees. Now, they say that if you visit the intertwined trees, you'll hear the lovers' voices and unseen spirits will viciously attack you. I would say it's a bunch of silly old stories, but there are reported cases of aristocrats and men going out there late at night and were attacked. One of my childhood friends had her eye gouged out when she got too close, and now she can't see out of her right side.
They have every right to be angry,
Daisy barked.
They were unjustly killed. Charles, do you think that's the place?
It could be, but we should check it out to be totally sure. If the Queen instructed her to go there, then there must be a reason. Maybe the letters aren't enough anymore, and the Queen sent another spy to relay the information between them.
I think that's what's happening,
Valerie nodded.
All of the letters from the Queen are from a few weeks ago before Kalara showed up in Edenheart.
So she has to have someone relaying messages back and forth between the two of them. Josephine, do you have any idea where the crying tree might be?
No,
the heiress sighed.
Absolutely no idea. A few of my old friends did, but they all moved away or weren't speaking to me anymore. I'm sure the Duchess would know, but she's not here right now.
Well, I think we should return to the manor. I have a few old maps of the city in the basement, and we can go over them together.
That sounds like a good idea, Charles.
Daisy agreed.
We certainly can't storm off like Edeny and scour the whole town without having any idea of where we're going.
Couldn't Daisy just, you know, smell the fabric and track her from here?
Valerie asked.
Sure, but then I'd get to the drive and the trail would run cold. If she were on foot, I could, but if she's riding inside of a carriage, no way. I can only track people through smell if they're walking or close by. I'm assuming that her carriage took her back to her home, and then, well, who knows where she went. Kalara was definitely suspicious of us, and I doubt she'd wait for Edeny or us there.
Dang,
the feline woman grumbled.
It'd be nice if you could.
But if we find out where the crying tree is, Daisy could track her from there and sense out anyone else if they're around.
All right,
Josephine uttered, stood up from the table, and brushed off her skirt.
Should we head out? I think we should leave as soon as possible. Think of any place where she could be and come up with a plan. Phew! This is so exciting!
Valerie giggled.
Not only are we going on another mission, but we're getting a new monster sister! We've been waiting for this moment for so long! Oh, just wait until we tell Ryan! Oh, she's gonna be so happy! Oh, Josephine! This is your first transformation, too! Oh, my goodness! This makes me so, so happy.
Josephine's lips pressed into a firm line. Her cat-like orange eyes flitted to the floor for a second, but she quickly cheered up and grinned over at the feline woman. I knew that the heiress was upset that it wasn't her turn to be transformed yet, but she understood my reasoning behind it. Josephine had power in this city that Daisy and I didn't have, and we could use it for the betterment of our family. I would turn her eventually, but now all of us knew it wasn't the right time.
The Nyx is beautiful,
the heiress smiled,
and I bet our new sister will be even more so.
Valerie wriggled in her seat, stood, and then skipped to the door.
Let's hurry home and then track down Kalara. I'm so happy, Charles. We finally get a new sister, and we get to love her just like Daisy, Ryan, and Josephine. Oh, Josie, just wait until you see the transformation. It's so stunning. It's like a magical light show, and light glows all around the room. And then Charles's machine starts smoking, and...
It looks like what I imagine an aurora looks like.
Daisy interrupted.
Colors flash through the air like fireworks, and this loud humming starts. It rises in pitch until it sounds like a single note, and then lengthens to an entire chorus of voices. Right as you think it's over, all of it comes to a crashing crescendo, and...
And then you have to close your eyes,
the feline woman interjected.
Because the lights get so bright that Charles says it could damage your eyes. So then you have to wait patiently as the room falls silent and all of this heat is hitting you from all directions. Then Charles goes to compartment C, opens up the door, and brings the new monster girl out. Well, we don't follow him because it's kind of like,
The ash blonde tapped on her chin thoughtfully for a moment. But Daisy spoke for her. I took the bear girl by the elbow, placed a hand on Josephine's waist, and guided all of them toward the door. I kept an eye out for any stray guards, but it seemed all of them had been called away to aid Edeny in the search.
They imprint on Charles,
the bear girl explained.
It's integral that he's the only one who goes in and brings them out because it solidifies their connection. After that, he brings them out, and we get to meet them for the first time.
And then Charles does the examination. Then we either pick out clothes for them or make them. And then we all pick out a name. Or they pick out their own. You probably heard, but Charles picked out my name. I picked out Daisy's, and she liked it so much that she kept it. Ryan was the only one who picked out her own name. That's so interesting,
Josephine murmured.
You already explained it to me once before when I first arrived at the manor, but you didn't tell me everything about the experiment. Do either of you remember the transformation?
All four of us stepped out of the hall, and I turned my head toward the staircases behind us, but still there were no guards in sight. The carriage Edeny had ordered for us sat in front of the stairs outside, and we slipped out of the front door without anyone noticing. We climbed into the coach and barely had time to close the door before the driver pulled away from the duchy.
Little bits and pieces,
Daisy uttered.
Not a lot, but like a snippet of copper walls and the corrugated door with the little window.
Really? You remember that?
Yes. I don't remember anything important except for those tiny details.
What about you, Valerie? Do you remember anything from the transformation?
Mine is a bit different. I don't recall seeing anything, especially not the inside of the machine, but I remember being in a small space and being overwhelmed with this comforting, warm feeling. It started at the top of my head and the tips of my toes. It spread throughout all of my body until I was curled up in this tight little ball of comfort, and then the door swung open, and I saw Charles for the very first time.
I remember that, too.
Daisy sighed dreamily.
He was so kind and sweet. I knew from the moment I laid my eyes upon him, he was the man that I was meant to spend the rest of my life with. And then I was introduced to Valerie and A.B., and I became part of the family.
Ryan's introduction was definitely the funniest,
the feline woman giggled.
What happened?
Josephine asked.
Well, as we said, once the experiment finishes, Charles goes to the compartment and opens the doors. But that didn't happen with Ryan. Charles tiptoed closer to the doors, and right as he reached them, they blasted open. Ryan launched herself out of the compartment and landed on Charles. She acted as if she were going to attack him, and all of us were losing our minds. Then she kissed him, and everything was all right. That would have been so scary.
The heiress gasped.
Charles, did you expect anything like that to happen?
No, especially not when all of my other monster women came out calmly. Ryan is a firecracker, for sure. Her personality is like none other that I've seen before. But I shouldn't really be surprised. Not all of my women are going to be the same. I wouldn't want them that way. They're so special in their own ways.
Oh, Charlie Pooh!
Valerie giggled, scooted across the seat, and gripped me by the arm.
You're the sweetest man that we have ever met. What would we do without you?
Well, you'd probably be in a harlot prison.
Daisy chuckled lightly.
And if I were still Delphine, Charles would be one of my consorts right now.
Well, maybe not a consort. I would have never let her do that to me.
From what we heard, she got pretty close.
Josephine turned her head, leaned against the window of the carriage, and stared out at the passing businesses. The heiress licked her lips, but their corners pulled down into a slight frown, as if she were deeply concerned. What's the matter, Josephine?
Nothing, really. I'm just a little worried about what's going to happen. Will Edeny find Clara? What will happen if she does? Will Edenheart be attacked and overrun with war? I know that Edeny has a small army of brutes collected in case that happens, but I'm sure it's no match to the royal cavalry. I don't care for the Duchess or her family, but I'd hate to see Edenheart end in a plague of fire.
She won't. Edeny may have her guards and an army on her side, but she has no idea where Kalara might be hiding. If Kalara sees that the Duchess has dispatched her men, she'll know that we're on to her. And that's if she hasn't realized it yet.
But what will happen if we find her first?
The honey blonde murmured.
The outcome may be the same. The Queen won't stand it if the Duchess killed her precious consort. Even if we do find her, we have no idea what type of power she has. And she could hurt one or more of us.
There's no need to worry. Everything will work out. If it's one thing I've learned during my life, everything eventually finds a way to end peacefully.
Aren't you tired of fighting? Aren't you tired of battling everyone just to survive in this horrid world?
Daisy and Valerie glanced at each other for a second, and then they giggled softly. Daisy scooted forward in her seat, leaned over, and placed a hand over Josephine's. The bear girl gave it a tender squeeze and smiled sweetly over to her sister.
We've gotten used to the fighting,
the brunette explained.
And it's not that we're not tired of it. Trust me, we are. But we're fighting for something that we all believe in. We're tired, we're exhausted, but we push forward and face everything that steps into our paths. And I'll tell you, nothing has been strong enough to bring us to our knees. Delphine threatened to take Charles away from us. Hortensia planned to have Charles imprisoned. And now we have Edeny breathing down our necks. There were plenty of times that we thought it was going to be the end. But we outsmarted all of our adversaries at the last second. I understand that you're afraid. But you're so strong and just as powerful as Valerie, Ryan, and I are. Together, we could take on anything that tries to attack us.
Do you really think so?
The heiress asked.
But what if it's the Queen? What if...
Even if it is the Queen, we will handle it as a team. If we find Kalara and subdue her, we'll have a brand new monster girl on our hands. That's 4 monster women in total, and eventually the Duchess will become one too. Then once I have control over the whole city of Edenheart, you too. There is no need to worry, my love.
It's just all so uncertain. What happens after we take over Edenheart, Charles? You know that the Queen won't allow you to keep control over it.
I've been thinking about this for a very long time, I stated, leaned back in my seat, and crossed my arms over my chest. And I've pondered what to do once Edeny is out of the way and I have total control over the city. I figure there are a lot of women out there like Edeny, don't you think?
Of course. Every city has a leader. Maybe not a duchess, but mayors and such.
If I were able to transform my machine into something more portable, maybe something like a compartment on wheels. No, that just sounds silly. But you get the picture. We'd be able to travel to other cities and take them within a few days. We arrive in the town, set up shop, maybe as a traveling alchemist, and take down all of the powerful aristocrats. Once all of them are part of our family, we transform their leaders and take the cities for ourselves. We move around a lot, so the Queen won't know our exact location. And if she finds it out, we'll kill anyone who's sent after us.
That's a pretty good plan, Charles,
Daisy breathed.
Do you think we'd be able to pull it off?
If we have Edeni on our side, then probably. Edeni is the strongest woman in Edenheart. I'd even say the world. I've seen her do some pretty horrific things with her powers. Josephine might remember when they had public executions, but I know neither of you will.
Oh, those were... My heavens! They were horrendous. Those poor men were killed in such horrible ways. No human deserves that.
What did she do to them?
The bear girl whispered. The one in particular that stuck with me for so long, I slowly forced out, was a man that they tied up on two pairs of sticks. Each of his hands and feet were lashed to the poles, and he hung there, limply, like a doll. I'm pretty sure she'd already beaten him before they strung him up, but that doesn't matter.
Edeni walked out in front of the crowd, announced his crime, and turned toward him,
Josephine explained. Then she brought her hands over her head, slashed them down, and pointed them directly into the middle of his chest. The crowd had to scatter because the lightning bolts she summoned were so massive. But that wasn't the worst part. A single strike sizzled down from the clouds above his head. We didn't see what happened to him because of all the smoke, but we all heard his screams. When all of the smoke cleared away, the stakes were gone, and the only thing that remained was a charred and broken rib cage covered in cooked meat. The lightning bolts struck in all the same spot and created a massive crater. It was
horrifying to see the sheer amount of Edeni's magic,
the heiress murmured. I'm sure that what she showed us wasn't even a fraction of her full powers. From the way she snorted and rolled her eyes, we all knew that she was holding back. No one wanted to imagine what it would be like if she used 100% of her power. That's why we have to transform Edeni before she finds out about our plans.
Why does she have to be so powerful?
Valerie grumbled. I have no idea. But we're almost to the house. I'll run down into my laboratory and grab the maps while all of you go inside. It shouldn't take me very long. The carriage tilted upwards, and we watched out of the windows as the manor quickly approached. Once we reached the gravel of the driveway, the coach turned and stopped right in front of the stairs. I opened the door for my women, and then held it there as they all climbed out. I hopped down to the gravel, slammed the door shut, and then turned to wave off the coachman. "I'll be back in a minute," I called out to all three of my women, and then headed off toward the stairs. I hurried down them, opened the corrugated door, and then stepped inside the cool room.
"Well, well, well. Fancy seeing you here."
"Hi, A.B. Sorry we haven't been down to visit you in a few days." I flipped on the light, and the floating brain practically glared at me from across the room. As I stepped deeper into the room, A.B. twirled his tiny brainstem and slowly turned away from me. "So, what have you been doing down here? I said I was sorry. We've been swamped, and I promise that we'll bring you upstairs tonight."
"What have I been doing, you ask? Oh, you know, taking long walks around the laboratory, making friends with the cockroaches and spiders that occasionally fall into my tank. I would eat them since I'm so hungry, and you've forgotten to feed me for a few days."
"I would feel sorry about that, but there's one problem."
"What?"
the brain barked. "You don't have a mouth. So we can't feed you if you can't physically eat."
"Well, I'm being starved in one way or another. I'm a brain. I need constant stimulation."
"I said we'd bring you upstairs tonight. We're just a little busy right now." I stood in front of one of the cabinets, peeked inside, and then closed it with a snap. I'd found the maps of Edenheart when I first moved in, and I knew I'd put them in one of the cabinets, but if only I could remember where I put them. I tapped my chin, hummed to myself, and then crossed to the largest cabinet.
"What are you looking for?" the brain asked.
"The maps of Edenheart. Killara escaped and Edeni went after her, but we need to find her first." I peeked into the darkened shelves and found the four furled maps stacked in the corner. I tucked them underneath my arm and then turned back toward A.B. "I'll come back for you later tonight, I promise. I'm really sorry we've left you down here alone. It won't happen again, but I really need to get these upstairs."
"It's really all right. I told you I made friends with the spiders and the cockroaches that fell into my tank. But I appreciate the apology.
I nodded to him and then raced back up the stairs. I kept my eyes low and came around the corner toward the stairs, but froze as a voice screamed my name.
"Charles Rayburn!"
a male voice roared. I lifted my head and searched around for a second until Lucian stepped around a bush. His sickly yellow eyes looked hazy and feverish, but I could tell this time he hadn't shown up drunk. His hair was disheveled along with his clothes, and his unshaven face looked sunken in. "Lucian, what are you doing here?" The scientist staggered forward, and I realized that both of his hands were held behind his back. In one swift movement, the blond man jumped forward at me and brandished a sword. The blade swung inches away from my neck, and I bent backward to avoid the blow.
"You took Edeny away from me! Now I'm going to kill you!"